It is Sunday the 11th of February. This is the Cat's Whiskers podcast. Podcast always feels better after a win, and thankfully we do get to discuss that very thing. So around the table we have Ant.
Hey, yep.
We have Adam.
Hello.
And some captive audience, we have Tony, Sean and Zara. Say hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
Right, so...
She said hello, guys.
A lot of... I mean... look, they can use some artistic licence, it is allowed. Okay, so, since our last podcast in Belfast City Airport... a lot has happened, a lot's gone on, so I'll quickly run through.
I'm more tired today than I was on the airport, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to sort of put some context into what might be a very difficult podcast for Adam and Ant. They were in Fife yesterday.
I did some lives.
Sorry?
Did you not see my lives? I did a couple of lives.
You did a couple of lives?
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm aware.
Periscopes, as they used to be called.
I mean, yeah, the artist formerly known as Periscope on the artist formerly known as Twitter. So...
Very blurry-eyed one after the game. But yeah, anyway, carry on.
What's occurring? So, yeah, I'll just quickly run through the pertinent points since the last podcast. Mike Caruso was named captain. It was
Captain Caruso,
as he got his mandolin. I'm sorry, that's a Tony joke. That was very much a Tony joke. Don't do that again, Tony. I've lost my own train of thought now. So, yes, Captain Caruso was a player vote. So no disputing that, really. And there was I think it was fair to say the opinion was divided amongst the fan base. But, you know, a lot of people within the club have basically said he's got the respect of all his fellow players. So, you know, well-deserved. And
I'll tell you what, he's been... really, really good since he got the captain as well.
Yes, absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth. So, yes, he has. He's definitely taken, you know, an extra shoulder of responsibility amongst the team, I would say. Yes, I think it does, actually. I think it does. So, following that, not too long after, we had a bit of player movement. Austin Farley left and signed for the Manchester Storm.
And then scored
on his debut. And we signed with a cheeky little video from the Panthers. Anthony Luciani has signed for... Yeah, who are you? Who are you? Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Anthony Luciani, your number 88 for the Nottingham Panthers. So, yeah.
That was very good.
It was good, actually. Yeah, it was good. It was quite funny because it's one of those things that if you're not really into that sort of side of the social media content, you could just sort of look at that and breeze over it. But it was it was quite well hidden, really. We thought we were looking at our first home win of 2024. Against the Clan, and it was a bit of a capitulation. But I think the main point that we probably all took from that was the interview after the post-game interview with Kevin Moore, where he basically, you know, sort of addressed the elephant in the room, I suppose. The thing that everybody seems to have... A lot of people seem to have forgotten about. You know, a lot of people have just sort of breezed over and, you know, forgetting that it's been a traumatic season and it continues to be a traumatic season for the guys that, you know, we're putting our heart and soul into supporting. So, you know, just I think it was a bit of a reset, really, from Kevin. I think it needed saying, really.
Well, I think the thing that's come out after that as well is that we've now started to hear more from Strachan and Paredes as well. Paredes is a different player.
We'll move on to that in a minute.
It is, like you said, it's almost lifted a massive weight off the shoulders of not just the team, but the coaching staff as well. It needed to be said. I'm glad it was said. Aaron Fox then followed it up with what he was saying unfortunately, some of the, you have a right to be disappointed when your team's not winning, but you've got to put that into realisation with what the team's gone through. And so Aaron Fox then coming out and saying what he said as well, although it still feels wrong getting sympathy from them lot, but you know, hey, well
it feels wrong, you know, sort of listening to an interview from a Steelers coach and going, yeah, thanks, mate. it's just not natural.
I mean, the two teams went through that together.
Absolutely.
The difference is Sheffield have gone into a very business mode. Mm. Big business mode, I suppose you could say. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And, you know, they've basically compartmentalised and they've said, look, we're not talking about that. We are concentrating on playing the game, and they are, you know, carrying on blowing everybody away. That's we might have to edit that bit. Genuine slip of the tongue.
Yeah, I'm not editing that.
There's not much more I think we can say, unless Adam's got anything he wants to mention on that. It was very, that Moore interview, it was quite like it's different effect, obviously, because we're not going to win the league, but it rang bells for me with the Jordan Fox one.
I see what you mean. The significance of it. Yeah, the significance of it was
part of hitting own truths. Yeah, from
I mean, the interview is very sort of honest, very sort of from the heart, and you could tell that maybe that had been building up for, you know, several weeks, and he wanted to say something like that just to, you know, as other people have said, address the elephant in the room. And to be fair, I mean, when he did the interview, I looked at him, and you know, Kevin Moore's quite an attractive bloke, isn't he? He's quite a looker. And I think, you know...
Hello.
Is
he your Henry Cavill?
No, well, maybe.
to be fair, I don't think Adam's alone. Let's put that out there.
I think he's got a very big fan club. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you could see that it had taken its toll on him. And he, you know, looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And
well, it's kind of similar to that interview that Paraday did around Christmas time. That man looked broken. I think Kevin was in a similar sort of state, wasn't he?
Exactly. And I think, you know, maybe by not talking about it and not addressing it for a number of weeks after the defeats just kept stacking up, and, you know, after more bad luck for the Panthers, and after we'd lost another sort of tight game that had not gone in our favour, you know, the coaching staff are going to feel that just as much, if not more, than the players, to be honest, because, you know, ultimately they're responsible for what goes on the ice, and if things aren't going well, they're naturally going to feel it. Now, not only are they dealing with defeat after defeat after defeat, but they've also got to try and pull along, you know, a big group of players who have been, you know, to hell this season, emotionally and mentally. So, you know, they've almost, you know, got a pastoral role as well, like looking out for the well-being, the mental well-being of everybody. So I can understand why the people, you know, behind the scenes, as it were, you know, the coaching staff behind the bench, look so sort of beaten up and so jaded and tired. So I'm so glad Kevin got that off his chest. And, you know, as others have said, you know, in the last few minutes, that's, I think, helped sort of clear the room a little bit and just sort of reset the dial. And now, you know, going forwards, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of the wins that we've had lately, you know, over the course of the podcast, but it just feel like maybe he's sort of set us on a little bit of a different course with that interview.
Mm. Well, I'm sure we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks as well. As well as the parallels with Paraday's interview and the Jordan Fox interview, I'm sure one of us has mentioned that the Corey Nielsen interview last season up in Dundee. Maybe we mentioned that on the last podcast, I'm not sure, but I think there is an appreciation within the fan base of honesty, of that absolute honesty.
I was wanting Kevin Moore or Jonathan Paraday or Rick Strachan to say something like what Kevin Moore said for weeks and weeks and weeks. Mm. You know, and I honestly, none of us can actually do the job for them. You know, ultimately they want to say what they want to say at the right time, because they've got to sort of like work it all out and process it. Will it be good for the team? Will it be good for the fan base to hear it? Whatever. But I'm just glad it was said. It needed to be said. You know, the boil needed lancing, to use a medical analogy. But let's just hope now that, you know, if it is on the players' mind, if it's on the coaching staff's mind, which of course it will be and will be for a long, long, long time, they feel comfortable enough. Oh, hello, we've We've got some guest dogs on the podcast.
Official dogs of tonight's Cats Whiskers podcast.
What I was going to say, just to wrap up there, is, you know, I think all the players and the coaching staff need to feel, if they want to, of course, comfortable talking about it in front of a microphone and, you know, on camera. They have to. And it may well do them a world of good to do that, rather than sort of like, you know, build up and build up and build up and, you know, get to the point where Kevin Moore looked like a broken man, because nobody wants to see that.
No. Well, so we'll just briefly touch on last weekend, perhaps. It was a weekend of mixed fortunes last week, I think. So we had the home and home series against Coventry Blaze. In a very sort of odd turn of events, we lost the home game and then won away. And I'll tell you what, that was... I think every win so far since we returned to play, it's just been that sort of, oh my God, we've done it. You know, we've got a win. And it because the wins are so few and far between, they're so much more cherished. Obviously, last Sunday... Yes, he certainly was. Adam was the representation from the Cats Whiskers podcast last week. So it was a game of sort of mixed fortunes. Yes, we won, but we're now a player down because Paré did something a little bit daft and he's ended up with a 3-game ban for it. So
coincidentally, which finishes after we play Sheffield on Saturday, for an incident that maybe 2 games would have been fair for, 3 is excessive in my opinion. But if I'd go on to that, I'm going to start ranting, and I don't want to rant tonight. Because we've got
in the last
4 games we have 5 points. I mean, we should have had 7, but you know, this is a different thing. Thank you very much, Sarah.
So yes, we're just having a drinks delivery. So that's it. We're all fresh to continue on.
More Guinness,
apparently. On a school night.
I don't know whether you were going to ask me about the Coventry game, given that I was...
Yeah, well, I mean, you are the man most qualified to talk about it, so, go on.
Yeah, fair enough. For me, I would actually put, and this is quite sort of grand, and people might see it as a little bit over the top, but I would actually put that win as probably one of my top... I don't know, 5 moments of supporting the Panthers because of what it actually symbolised and the feeling that we got at the end of the game. I've seldom actually been part of a group of fans that looks so delighted, happy, emotional, you know, absolute melting pot of emotions. I'll be honest, I struggled to keep my emotions in check after that game last week when we beat Coventry.
On the telly, on the computer, mate. It was, yeah, I can't imagine what you would have gone for.
And, you know, just to talk about the hockey itself, to go 2-0 down, you know, with less than, you know, a minute on the board, you know, we're all looking at each other in the away blocks at Coventry thinking, oh my God, you know, we're on for double figures here. You know, we might end up losing, you know, 10-11-0. And then obviously, you know, getting one back straight away to cut that deficit in half really did help us. And to be fair, the guys were amazing. You know, everybody put a shift in. It was a really good defensive effort, actually. And, you know, somebody that needs to get some plaudits for that was Robinson. Robinson was really, really good. You know, well, take the first minute of the game out of the equation, but for the rest of the way, Robinson was exceptional. And I was so pleased that he got the win. But everybody contributed to that defensive effort. You know, they all put a shift in. And for once, things actually went our way in the game. You know, we got a few decisions that, you know, obviously went to review, and we're all thinking, oh, you know, that's going to go the other way. You know, that's going to go in Cobb's favour.
Well, that's how our luck's been, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, we've had no luck whatsoever. So, you know, we had 2 big, obviously, things that went our way, and I'm so happy they did. Obviously, it left Coventry a little bit sore, and, you know, Danny Stewart was... not very happy, to put it mildly, but so what?
I mean, we're not concerned about the fortunes of Danny Stewart, frankly.
Exactly. But, you know, it was great to see things go our way because, you know, the hard work and the effort that the players have put in recent weeks, they deserved a break. You know, they deserved something to go their way. But that win, you know, the scenes at the end were just very, very emotional, actually. Very emotional. And... you know, I looked around the away block and I could see Panthers fans, you know, that were trying to sort of process their emotions. And, yeah, it was... It was good.
That's fine. Yeah, so... just before I come across to you, Anne, just Robinson's obviously... Robinson's opportunities, obviously, are more few and far between because it's obvious that Stojanovic is our number one. I think I did have a look, and Robinson's last league win was back in October. So, I mean, he's going to have taken that one. that was obviously going to feel good for him.
I kind of forgot. I wanted to mention the two big decisions. Obviously... The bonus of watching it from home, and again a shout out to the Coventry team because they do have the commentators are two of the best in the league. They
Bullard, of course, behind Jonathan Bullard.
I mean,
he's not here, so balls to him. but in all seriousness, they got the decisions bob on. But it did feel huge because like Tina said, those are the decisions and the bounces and everything that have been going against us.
Key times in the game as well. It wasn't like, you know, there's two or three goals between us. It was a one goal game at that moment. So, you know, it only would have took one of those decisions to go against us, and then, you know, who knows what might have happened.
It would have been 3-3. Or it would have been, you know, with our goal ruled out as well. So, it was huge. But it was the best bit was the with scoring pretty much straight afterwards, which ired the Coventry bench even more. Paré, he has every right to challenge Norwich. Yeah, he has every right to challenge Norwich because it was a beautiful hit, and I applaud physical hockey and everything. Norwich lined him up perfectly and put him down. But as a player, you know, if somebody does that to you, you want to have a go. And he did the right thing. He skated over to him. End of the whistle. He gave him a little shove and I was like, come on then, let's go. He didn't want to get involved. McNulty stuck his nut in. Paré stuck his nut in. McNulty stuck his nose.
His beak in, yeah.
Yeah. And then chirping away, and Paré's leant into him and nudged him with his head. It's a motion with his head. It's a ban. 100% a ban. 3 games he's taking the mickey, to be perfectly fair. And McNulty that's good acting from him, because he went down like he'd been shot. So, I mean, we were talking about it, weren't we, in the chat with, you know, a few other people. And we're saying it's like, yeah, next game, you'd just love to see somebody line him up centre ice and just have a proper go. You know, he's meant to be quite a tough character, McNulty. That was just, it was laughable. But it's happened, and then coincidentally, we're down a player for when we play Sheffield. Like they need any more help.
Can I just say, until what Paré did, he was having an absolutely superb game. It was by far and away the best game that he had in a Panthers jersey. He got under this skin.
Don't you think he's stepped up since Luciani came in? And I know you've got Luciani signing on the agenda as well.
Yeah, we've not talked about him yet, but we can.
I've got a theory, and I told this to Ann on the drive up to Kokodi yesterday. And I think that Paré struggled with the fact that he might have been seen as a player that would change and sort of turn our fortunes around this season. And he's a 22-year-old kid. You know, he's young, he's inexperienced, he's not got a great deal of pro hockey behind him. So I think that he probably felt uncomfortable with that sort of pressure on his shoulders. Now Luciani's in, he's much more experienced, you know, he's been there, seen that, got the T-shirt. And now Paré can maybe just play his natural game a bit more without any pressure.
That was
my theory, anyway. Yeah. Exactly spot on. Adam took the words right out of my mouth, and like I say, it was. We did say we had joked, didn't we? We were saying this is podcast material, the stuff that we were chatting about on the way up.
Hey, look, you're welcome to download the app, both of you. Just honestly, crack on. We'll get some little mini podcasts going on. I'm happy with that.
That's what the periscopes are for. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, apart from the fact that Adam doesn't want to be on camera.
Yes, he didn't want to be on yet.
Shy, but he still punted it in my direction.
Just to prove that he was there and stuff like that.
So while we're talking about him, then we'll just quickly benchmark the rest of the talking boys. Luciani, his first game, I found him very entertaining. I think he wanted to chirp at people. He wanted to let people know he was there, and he seems, even now, he seems like a bit of a spark plug, and I think we needed somebody we could feed off. I think there was,
he's a very good player as well.
Yeah, he is.
Welsh has been doing that a lot lately, but yeah, at the moment he's injured, so we're missing his sort of his graft and his industry.
Hopefully Welsh is back very soon.
Well, this is the thing, the injury list. I mean, we had a minor heart attack with LeMay having that fight tonight and going down awkwardly, but he came back out thankfully, but we're still missing Betteridge for God knows how long, Tetlow for God knows how much longer. You know, you'd like to think his arm is sort of on the mend.
Obviously, Tetlow was on the ice for the Luciani reveal video, if you want to call it that. So Tetlow's obviously closer to a return. Than it was interesting that Ollie got picked for the GB squad.
Yeah.
And he obviously he's not played. They replaced him. It just worries me. I generally don't think we'll see Holly for the rest of the season, and he needs to get back soon.
Well,
losing Hazeldine this weekend is a huge blow, and because he's been bored. So hopefully he's back Wednesday, and then Kelsall can go back up front again.
I mean, we badly need some bodies up front, definitely.
Getting McGurty back is massive. So I know you wanted to talk about it.
I do want to talk about it because I think McGurty has had his best weekend in the Panthers jersey. He was despite the score yesterday, the Heineken League score yesterday. Yes, defensively, you know, collectively as a team, that it was not good. But McGurty's actual play was brilliant, and I think he was brilliant tonight. He was my man of the match for tonight, 100%.
We had this discussion before we went. Recording. It's fine with Luciani getting man of the match. I'm totally fine with that. But for me, McNaughty again. McNaughty? No, not McNaughty. McNobbet. McGurty.
Did you just do a swear?
Nob's not swearing.
Dear.
Have I
got to put an explicit content warning? I might have to. Well, we'll think about it. Anyway,
you use them to open doors.
There we are.
All right. Okay. Fine. Fine.
We're okay.
Okay.
Carry on.
As you were.
Even to ruin my thread now. No.
Yeah. McGurty.
You could tell. I mean, that the goal as well last night that he got was very nice, and it was a total fluke goal today because he's just putting the puck across and it's gone in off a Gladden foot. But because
they don't ask how, they just ask how many.
Exactly, it doesn't matter. But he's obviously brought a little bit of boost to the team as well, having you know another especially with Hazeldine missing, so it's still Paul Kelsall still having to play on D. Hopefully he's the first of a long line of players that are going to come back to fitness now, and then
I never quite got through the list, did I? So you know, there's Betteridge, there's Tetlow, there's Welsh, and you know, we missed Hazeldine this weekend, and so it just seems it just sort of seems never ending. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a question. Are we at the point where the club needs to consider some more reinforcements? Do we have that? You know, are we at the point where it is pointless?
Well, I don't think it's pointless in the context of our season, because you know, tonight's win has sort of narrowed that gap a little bit between us and Glasgow in that last playoff qualification place. But the thing is, this is a personal thing on my part. I'm not expecting or demanding anything of this Panthers team between now and the end of the season. You know, if they play well and they win games, I just want these players to enjoy themselves and get a buzz from what they did tonight, like you could clearly see.
Absolutely, and I would completely agree with that. But I mean, I'm more sort of weighing that question in the line of the organisation. Do they need to do something here?
It's less of a desperation now than it was. You know, when we were literally finishing games with 4D men and 2 and a bit lines, and then like Sheffield are crying about having 17 players, or Sheffield fans are crying about having 17 players this weekend. Oh, cry me a river. And they brought Jonathan Phillips back. What the F?
That up and coming youngster, Jonathan Phillips. Oh, yeah,
good things about him.
Yep. Oh,
he'll have a long future in this game.
What's David Clark up to? Can we just like draft him in or something like that?
Can we borrow Matthew Myers? Yeah. I mean, seriously.
We spoke about this again on with Jordan, our mate in five, one of our mates in five. Yesterday, we were joking about why can't we like try and get Matthew? Why haven't we tried to get Myers back in? You know, draft him in for the remainder.
We could do a lot worse.
I mean, even if he just comes in just to sit his, you know, park his backside in front of the opposition goalie and win face-offs.
And win some face-offs, yeah. I was literally half a second behind you.
I think we were in a place where we were desperate. We were desperate for new blood to come into the team. And obviously we were just down on so many members, and Adam's managed to trap his finger in between two chairs. Now it's a less of a desperation, and if you bring in players in now, you're probably going to have to look at releasing everybody, some players. And
that's severe.
Change them all. There we go again. And obviously, you know, we touched on Farley joining Manchester. Scores on his debut, typically. He came in, again. He was one that came in after the incident and stuff. So it'd be nice. I think now it's more of a case of if the right player's available, as opposed to getting people in, you know, to play roles or something like that. You never say no, do you?
No. Well, I mean, I was just playing devil's advocate, I'll be honest, because I am...
I think if we can get a British player in...
Yeah, but they're like... Rocking horse doodah.
They are like rocking horse excrement. Yeah, the name keeps going up, doesn't it? Bless him. Let's talk about you two's little trip up to Kirkcaldy then. Adam, that must have been quite reminiscent of your early days supporting the Panthers.
Gosh, yeah, some high scores. Yeah, I mean, I think mentioned it earlier in the podcast. It is difficult to sort of process what happened, even 24 hours on. It was just an absolutely bonkers game. You know, everything just went out the window, mainly defence. Defence went out the window. And it was just a really strange game because... I thought we were actually going to win that, and there were times where we were quite comfortable, but you know, we shot ourselves in the foot, or we made a silly play, or there was just a momentary lapse of concentration, and before you know it, Fife were all over us. I'm sure people have maybe seen the goals if Fife have put them out on their highlights on the social media, but it did feel like a lot of goals last night came from driving our net, and you know, maybe our D weren't quite physical enough in trying to clear those forwards away. But it was a tricky night on the ice. You know, whenever you concede nine, you look back and you think, not our finest hour. And it wasn't. Collectively, I think our D, and I'm not going to throw Robinson under the bus. It'd be easy to, because you could look at that and say, he's let nine in, you know, they're all on him. Okay, maybe a couple were, you know, on him and he'd want them back. But it was a collective D effort that failed last night. And you could even argue that some of the forwards didn't exactly, you know, help by, you know, not back checking or, you know, doing their bit in their own defensive zone. So yeah, it was a bonkers game, mad game. I think me and Ant just sat there for the last 10 minutes almost sort of like stony silent, like what the hell is going on here.
Well,
it was strange at the end of the game because we wanted to show you support to the team, and we just looked at each other and we just sank into our chairs, didn't we? We were just like, how has this happened? It was three times we had two goals.
Do it once is, yeah, unfortunate. Three times is quite careless.
When are you going to put seven past Owen and lose the game?
Yeah. Putting seven past Shane Owen for starters is no mean feat, because that guy is normally on it.
Because he's just a kid.
Some of our five friends were saying that. They were saying that he's got a newborn, you know, few days old, I think. And
congratulations to Shane Owen.
Nice one, Shane. To use an old cricket phrase. I don't think we're going to see a Shane Owen like that again. He looked really ropey, you know. We sort of got under his skin, and his positioning was all over the place. And look, I mean, Shane Owen is a really, really good netminder. Let's not beat around the bush. You know, I would have happily had Shane Owen at Nottingham.
I still have him as number one for me. He's still number one in the league for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I would love to sign Shane Owen. You know, and I think we may have tried to sign Shane Owen in the past, but you know, he's obviously got a very sort of tight affinity with Kikodi in, you know, the local Fife area. So fair play. But yeah, he was off last night, but it was just a strange game because everybody seemed to be off. Both defences were off. Both netminders perhaps didn't have their greatest games, but it contributed just to an absolutely mad game. And just want to say something about the Panthers support last night, because me and Ant were talking, you know, as we were driving up yesterday, and we were like wondering how many Panthers fans there might be. And you know, I think I said to Ant, oh, you know, I can't see there being more than about 10 Panthers fans there, you know, because we got a home game the following day and early face off and whatnot. There must have been about 60 or 70 Panthers fans there last night, maybe even a bit more. And we gave, I don't want to sort of like, you know, be too self-congratulatory, but we really did give the team every bit of backing last night. Even when, you know, we were under the caution, Fife were like laying it on heavy, the fans that went up there were amazing, you know. And we were competing against the cacophony of drums that came from Fife and the block next to us.
Yeah, they do enjoy putting their drummers next to the away block, don't they?
They do, yeah. Shout out to their drummers who, you know, make a really loud atmosphere.
Shout out to their drummers who could do with a penknife or two.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Some might say that, but, you know, obviously our mate Jordan is amongst their drumming corps, so and he does a good job, to be fair. You know, he's quite rhythmic with his drumming. But I've completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, he was me and Ant were talking. No, me and Ant were talking. Jordan. Yeah. But anyway, I think the crowd last night, the home crowd, were quite quiet for the first two periods. You know, because they were behind the eight ball, you know, we had the scoreboard advantage. But then when they actually got level, you know, in that third period,
when they went ahead, it was the go-ahead goal.
It got really, really loud, you know. Wow. And the drumming and the chanting and the general backing from the Fife crowd. And it was actually good to see a reasonably healthy crowd there, you know, home fans, because I know they've had a few problems with crowds this season. But, I mean, I think I had a look this morning and it was like 1,600. Yeah. It was a good crowd for Fife, you know, with a team from, you know, England, you know, not with not that many away fans, like, you know, a Dundee or a Glasgow would bring.
About 30 of us there yesterday,
mate. I mean, I was just talking there. I think you were chatting to Tony, but I thought there was about 60 or so. I really did. Maybe I'm just.
Anyway,
it felt like 60. It might have been 30.
It sounded like enough. You know that.
And it was loud.
Yes, and it came through on the webcast, because I was watching the webcast.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased that it did come through on the webcast. And, actually, kudos to Fife's photographer, because I was looking through their game photos today on Facebook that they put up, and they put a lovely photo of, it was taken from the end of our bench, and it like looked down our bench, and it had the road fans, the away fans, Panthers fans in the background, and obviously we took the Adam Johnson banner up there as well, and it was like a sepia image, but they left the banner as black and gold. It was a really, really good photograph, fantastic. So props to whoever did that, because that's, you know, really creative, but it's quite emotive actually. You know, it's a really nice photo to look at, and if you can see it on Facebook or any of Fife social media outlets, and go and have a look at it.
So I do have a quick question about this, about last night's game. The Panthers made the decision for whatever reason, for Stojanovic to not travel, which obviously meant that Lucas Sheldon went up, and Lucas Sheldon was the backup. If your goalie is conceding, you know, 4, 5, 6 goals in a game, do you think at any point, because I think there was a point when it sort of got to, you know, that sort of 6, 7 kind of level where Robinson was noticeably rattled. Had Stojanovic been on the bench, do you think that that could have changed the game in any way?
No. Are you sure you've not bugged my car? Because Adam and I were having this exact conversation travelling down the A1 on the way home
on the way back this morning.
Hey, look, you're the one that works for MI5, not me, pal.
No, like, allegedly. I'm going to say the same thing that I said to now that I said to Adam. Yes, potentially you could have looked at replacing him. However, I don't think it'd make much difference. It wasn't on Robinson last night.
No. I'd just like to stress, I'm not inferring that it was.
Yeah. Did he have his best game for us? By far and away, no. He was rattled.
That was the Coventry game the week before, I would say.
Yeah. He wasn't helped by our defence last night. We just looked a little bit at sixes and seven. Well, no, at eights and nines.
To be honest, nobody's defence came out of that looking good last night, because that was not. Despite the goals and the excitement and the you get some goals to cheer for and everything. That kind of score is just it's not the modern game, is it?
There are agents of D-men that were playing in that game last night that are wanting to circulate copies of that and DVDs to prospective employers next season. I don't think they'll be circulating that DVD or the recording of that game, because no, you're right, it won't show them up in a particularly positive light.
When the Elite League put the result out, like they knew, they had to write 9-7 in. It was, but the thing is, like in Belfast and was it Clanmere that they played last night?
Yeah. That was another high scorer. Yeah. So 5-8.
They finished, you know, like 8-5 or whatever. Yeah, and it's like, oh yeah, what a high scoring game. Panthers and 5. Hold our beers,
yeah.
But obviously the difference is between 8 and 9. So if you score 8, you just get 8 numerically. If it goes to 9, it gets spelt out alphabetically.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was 7 because 7's too close to a 1. That's why they used to do it on the video printer. But anyway.
Well, just a thing that sort of popped into my head. A few seasons ago, when Belfast and Coventry had a 10-8 thriller, I can remember Steph Hogarth, when he was still on Twitter, he had a text from one of the linesmen, I think it was Ilya Kizil, and all it said was, "Did you referee a hockey game or a basketball game tonight?" And I think that just sort of popped in my head, because it was.
Cry for winning.
It was not.
That's ruined my bet.
It is. Yeah. Adam's unhappy because Fife are about to ruin his bet. Anyway, so let's just talk about the game that we've just seen. A win. My God.
Oh, that's ruined my bet.
That has ruined. Right. Great. It's official. Yeah. Adam's bet is ruined.
Pray for Adam.
Pray for Adam. However, I'm sorry, Adam. It's not. It just pales into insignificance because Panthers have won a game tonight. And oh my God, was it brilliant! Oh my God, was it glorious!
Got some socials.
Go on then. Hit us with the socials, sir.
Wendy at Quirky Cookies said exactly the same thing that I think me and Kazara came up to sit with us, and we are no good sat next to each other, by the way, because we were so nervous that last. That last 18 and a half minutes.
You
wasn't
could
the
hear
last
it.
2 minutes, it was the 18 and a half minutes.
You could hear it. Well, to be fair, you could hear it, especially that last 5 minutes. Everybody was so tense.
Yeah, it was so. And Wendy, like she says, her watch thinks she's done a workout, which is, totally agree with that. There are other questions which we'll come on to. Paul Barnes been in touch. Paul's been poorly the last couple of days, so hope you get better soon, mate. Which is why he's not been doing his daily this day in history things. Hopefully, he says, we've got a monkey off his backs now. Like we were saying earlier, that's only our second win since at home since we've returned to action. I said this to you, Adam. I'm asking you now, Tina. Does this win tonight actually make last night worse? Because if you're looking at 7 points from the last 4... versus 5-7 is a little streak, and it's obviously a point win. Forget about Saturday coming up. We've got a game Wednesday. We've got the Valentine's game on Wednesday. It's Dundee, is it?
I believe so. Yes. It's Dundee.
God, that's terrible of me to not actually be confirmed who we're playing. And then we've got the giveaway. We'll generic lost to Sheffield in Sheffield on Saturday.
But will we?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not here.
Safe for some divine intervention. I think that's 2 points we can safely say goodbye to before we've even got there. But I don't expect any less than 100% effort from the guys.
Right, okay, but you think about this. Okay, so we've got the win tonight. I think we were disappointed that we didn't get a win last night. We can pull two together.
We should have beaten Sheffield last time we played them at home.
I agree with it. I mean, there's no reason why our team can't beat Sheffield. There's no reason why they can't. We've got
as Gary Moran used to say, it says versus, not beating, on the on the game sheet.
I agree. You know, if we do get a result, I know it is a big if. Okay, I will give you that. But you know, why not?
We need to probably drag this man in for some additional positivity because every so often I think we find ourselves a bit mither, don't we?
If we get a point Saturday, anything we get from Sheffield on Saturday is a massive bonus. They are by far and away the best team in the league this season.
They've
spent the money on the players and everything. They've retained a core from the last couple of years, which is key. Losing Phillips could have been huge. I mean, they brought him back this weekend, mate.
That young upstart Jonathan Phillips.
But all jokes aside, they have. I mean, you've got like Brandon Whistle. He's having a stellar season. He was a bit part player originally. It was all about Jackson, but Brandon Whistle the last couple of years has been a really good player for it. But anyway, enough talking about them orange lot.
Yeah, go on. Hit us with some more.
So what else we got? So I've got some questions for you then from the gang. Who wants to take the first one?
I mean, just put it out there and we'll see what happens.
Well, Callum's got a couple of three questions.
Three? Who do you think he is? Jack Walker?
Jack's actually not... I'm just scrolling through the thing.
Jack, please send us a tweet.
He did get in touch last night. But anyway, Callum wants to know. Callum Breeze, at Cal Breezy. At Cal _ Breezy. What do we need to do to improve the defence? And then his second question is a two-parter. Is it a change to defence's system or is it a change in personnel? Really good question.
Well, the first one, I think consistency within the decor. And I think we need bodies. So Hazeldine's a massive loss. Tetlow is obviously going to need some bedding in time when he's finally, finally back up and running. But we get both of those two back. We actually find ourselves with some options with Hazeldine. Hazeldine's a utility player. He's a weapon. So, you know, we can turn that to our advantage. But we need players back. We need them fit and we need consistency. I think that's my thinking on that.
So I think concentration is key. I think the D need to sort of be on the same page every night. And I think there's been, a few games lately where, we haven't had that, There's a lot of amusement and laughter around the table. And it is difficult to focus but I will carry on. The professional that I am. Because I thought the point I made was a very, very serious point.
God bless him.
This is reminiscent of Ian Dilly's Panthers on the very, very first Cats Whiskers TV. If you've not seen the very first, unfortunately I was on it. It's when me, Andy Hayward and Ian Dilly set up Panthers Hockey Live and Paul and Jono got us on the telly. It's very reminiscent of what's just happened. But anyway, back to Adam.
Yeah, back to me, because, I was trying to make a point. I think we're at the stage of the season now where you're not going to get, mass changes and mass upheaval of players. You're not going to be able to say, get rid of three or four D-men, bring three or four new D-men in.
I feel like we've said this on a previous podcast that I think it's going to be the decision of the players themselves if any of them want to leave. Absolutely. And I think that would be fully justified.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. And, we have got a good core of D players. You know, our D is a mixture of all different sort of aspects and, you know, qualities and skill sets. You know, we've got speedy D-men, we've got more physical, you know, hold your ground D-men.
And I think generally speaking, the pairings are balanced, aren't they?
The pairings do seem to be balanced, you know, and I think they complement each other. I mean, last night was just an anomaly, you know, it's an absolute aberration, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But, you know, I think we've been in games, haven't we? We've been in games over the last, you know, 10, 15 league fixtures, and we haven't got much luck, and, you know, we have been on the wrong end of, like, one-goal games. And, yeah, OK, we have made mistakes defensively. I'm not going to sort of sit here and say anything else, but I think what we need to do is we need to be more focused, and we need to sort of, like, we need to play a tighter game. You know, last night, for example, it was too expansive. You know, we needed to get back to basics after a few minutes, you know, when five maybe scored the fourth or fifth goal and go, look, guys, you know, let's just try and give Robinson a bit more protection. And we didn't. And, you know, he just made the game stupidly wide open. So I think, you know, there's a bit of coaching that needs to be tweaked just to, you know, solidify the blue line. But I don't think we're a million miles away from really getting it right defensively. You know, I think, like you were saying, Tina, we've got good players on that blue line. You know, it's a shame that people like Hazeldine are missing at the moment, and obviously we're massively missing Tetlow, who, you know, you tell me a team that wouldn't miss Josh Tetlow. You know, he's a GB international. He's probably, you know, one of the best GB defencemen that you could have, you know, available.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that goes without saying, so I wasn't even going to go there. But, you know, we have obviously had things to contend with. You know, we've had people filling in on the blue line again. You know, people have been going back there. And
yeah, we're looking at you, Jordan Kelso.
And, you know, tries his best, but, you know, and he did it well last season. But I'm sure that Jordan Kelso probably doesn't want to be playing on the blue line week in, week out.
Is he up top as well when he's playing on D? So
we absolutely do. And so I think, just to sort of like conclude what I was saying there, I don't think we need mass changes. I think, you know, subtle tweaks here and there from the coaching staff, and I think, you know, for the rest of the way we should be okay. You know, we just have to like put down last night's games as, you know, one of a kind, you know, freak occurrence. You're not going to get many of those over the course of a season, so yeah. I don't think our heart rates could cope with that if it was every week.
Well, just one thing I do want to put out there from last night's game, wasn't it nice to see us score 7 goals?
Past Shane Owen,
of all people. You know, I mean, that you know, put the defensive, you know, the defensive performance aside for a moment, we scored 7 goals. It don't matter who it was past, we scored 7 goals, and that's I think there's some encouragement to be taken from that.
Oh, massively! But the one thing you don't want Panthers to do is walk your dogs, is you? Because the old quote of we can't hold on to a lead. We certainly can't hold on to a 2-goal lead. Well, we did tonight, though.
Two goal leads apparently are the hardest lead in hockey to defend.
we are proving that week after week at the moment. Yeah, but some Brea fans come into the. Hi, Brea fans.
It's not just the hardest lead in hockey to defend, it's the hardest lead in sport to defend.
I don't believe it. But
show me the data.
Show me the money.
I don't believe it, because if you're ahead, you deserve to be ahead. Anyway. More questions. So it's Andy Roo at Smod72. Is there a place for a 44 next season? So I am taking. I mean, we saw this question before we went on air. I am going to ask you as how I think the question is meant to be asked. Is like, basically, is there a place for a Jordan Fox type next season? I will answer straight away. Hell yes, because there's always
room for a Jordan Fox.
Or a Sam Hare, thank you very much. They also went on to say, well done Panthers, well done the fans. The noise at the end tonight in particular was brilliant. I mean, it was loud,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of love from Block 7. So not really, I mean, is there a place for a Jordan Fox next season?
Well, now, here's the thing. I suppose it depends what kind of era that particular fan comes from, because obviously 44 was also famously won by one Barry Nicar. So I mean, which obviously I think the days of you're out and out in force are obviously gone. But I suppose there is one thing to think about, that I think we are still lacking a certain amount of physicality. We did miss Paré because Paré has brought a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, you know, body checking. You know, he's obviously tried to get a bit more forceful in the corners. Although, just related to that, and I might be going off on a bit of a tangent. Specifically the last two games, I have noticed it, and maybe it's been happening for longer. Stephen Anderson has been very strong on the puck the last two games. He has been holding off men who are significantly bigger than him, and he's been holding on to pucks and getting himself in good places, or he's been making sure, you know, to the very best of his ability, that pucks don't go where they're not supposed to.
And that's not the Stephen Anderson we saw last season. Stephen Anderson was brought in as a goal scorer, a goal setter, upper.
And he is doing that, but also, as I say, I've just noticed it the last two seasons that his physicality, whilst not being like, you know, the traditional physicality of, you know, chucking his body around and everything, but holding onto the puck and holding off opposition players has been brilliant.
Massively, but I mean, you saw his reaction to the goal he scored against Clan, you know, in the capitulation game. It would, you know, if anybody deserved it this season, it had been him, because he, like you just mentioned, Tina, he's I mean, they all bust their ass every game.
The effort level is we don't need to say it now, because the effort level is absolutely stellar, game in, game out, shift in, shift out. They are all.
He's been really, really good. And that's terrible of me to actually completely go past the fact that Barry Nicor used to wear number 44. I mean, it was before my time.
It was before my time as well, but you know, you just like to have these things in your head every now and again.
And it's nice to wind up those people from across the sea as well, isn't it? So, Jonathan Evans. He's also been in touch, wants to say, you know, particularly tonight, unbelievable performance, worked really hard for the win. Ironically, decided to walk from Carlton Square, where he lives, to the arena and stopped up at the Fox and Grapes before the game for a bite to eat and a drink, and we win. So maybe, Jonathan, you need to do that every single game.
I think that's a tradition.
Although, obviously, you know, we'd love to see you pop into Bunkers, you know, come and see the crew. But yeah, we had loads of messages last night as well. It's going to take me forever to go back. So yeah, that brings the end to the social corner.
Marvellous, right? Okay, well, unless, gentlemen, you've got anything else you would like to discuss, I think it's probably good to draw a line there.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick nod out to obviously everybody that was with us in Fife last night. Adam and I stopped at the Elbow Room for the first time that night, so it's a free advert for you. We've been to the Elbow Room lots as drinkers. We've never stayed there before. Highly recommend it. The staff are absolutely brilliant with us. I mean, instead of having a dirty kebab at 1 a.m, we were having a bowl of cereal each, which was, you know, from the breakfast bar. But that was great, and it was great to see, you know, because we missed out obviously on going to Fife with the doubleheader, because we obviously stayed in Dundee for the Clan game. It was great to see people and what have you. So thank you to everybody that was part of that. We've got more away trips coming up.
Oh yeah.
Adam and I are off up to Glasgow in a couple of weeks to.
Well, if I can get my van fixed, I might join you.
Well, hopefully so. And you know, on that note, Louis, happy birthday, pal! It's your birthday today. Party like it's your birthday. We will party like it's your birthday in 2 weeks' time, mate.
Anyway, enough shout outs to your mates. Come on.
I'm thanking people. I haven't had a chance to do this for a while. Obviously, you know, it would go without saying, you know, the love and support from our pals from Sheffield, our pals that we have. We should have beaten them, and we should have beaten them when we played them last. We had them, and you know, when we called it back to 2-2. That arena was rocking. That's the loudest I've heard it, probably since CHL times.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, we kind of not talked about this because we kind of skipped past this.
Well, I mean, I think we've talked about the atmosphere in the last podcast.
No,
because
I mean, that game.
Oh, that game.
Yeah, yeah. Because and once again, it was a crap bounce where a puck. We've tried to clear the puck and it's hit the blooming linesman or the referee, and then they've gone on and scored the winning goal. And at that point, where we just pulled it back to 2-2, the arena was going mental. You know, there was a surge of belief in that team to come back from 2-0 down against the best team in the Elite League by a mile was huge. And then the discussions and the chat again that we had with our mates after the game, that's why I love being a hockey fan in this country. It's a special group of people. I can't wait for playoffs again. It's the most wonderful time of the year. If you are coming down to playoffs, please pop in and come and say hello.
Dude, we're probably going to do like 3 or 4 more podcasts before playoffs.
Well, I know that, but I'm in that sort of emotional thanking everybody mode now, aren't I? But
you've had too many Guinness. Wrap it up. Come on.
I'm done.
Okay. I'm done. Right. Adam, anything else from yourself?
I think Ants acknowledged everybody in the whole universe. No, fair enough. I think, yeah, we do need to sort of say thanks to people because, you know, it's been a hard season for us and it continues to be a hard season for us emotionally. We've just been joined by a Clan fan at the table. Always good to see a Clan fan come down. But yeah, I mean, shout out to everybody. It feels a little bit awkward still being the epicentre of everything around, obviously, Adam Johnson. And it's, you know, proving to be hard for us to sort of all, you know, get back to some semblance of normality. But, you know, the one good thing about it is that everyone is showing us so much love, so much support, so much empathy and compassion. I mean, long may that continue. But I do long for the day where, you know, we can get back to having some healthy banter with friends from, you know, other clubs, you know, where, you know, we might have got a win that might have been slightly undeserved and we can sort of lord it over them and, you know, we can have that sort of debate and, you know, have that sort of fun. So, but I'm sure those days are going to be back on the horizon sometime soon.
Yes, I'm sure we'll get into some levels of familiarity, more familiar territory in seasons to come. But we go on, we plough on, and we'll see what we can get out of this season. The race for eighth is on, basically. Just a quick apology from me. I've been dealing with germs for the last fortnight, so I do most wholeheartedly apologise if my coughing has detracted from any of this podcast. I've been trying to keep it to a minimum, but it's been
the
a tough.
It's been a tough February.
It's been a tough February. Anyway,
2 weeks in.
I know, and it's already been a tough February. So, once again, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for continuing to support us. If you happen to see us around, come say hi, come shake our hands, have a chat with us, and buy us a beer if you really fancy. Oh, yes, and also, thank you, Anne. Thank you for the reminder. We have had some very... we've had some very much appreciated donations over on our Buy a Coffee site. We would like to say a massive, massive thank you to people who have supported us already. If you would like to support us, we're on the Buy a Coffee site. I think if you just search for Cat's Whiskers, we will be there. Just a little thing just to help us with our running costs so we can continue to talk rubbish into your ears.
It's weird that, like, I still find it very weird that people actually want to listen to the crap that comes out of my mouth. You know what I mean? I'm shout out to the 5-on-3 guys. They've been trying to get me on again this. Unfortunately, we are Sunday games now for the rest of the month. So no doubt I'll be popping back up on them again, and hopefully we can get them over here and have a chat to them, you know, when we go closer to playoffs. All I've got to say is, thanks to everybody listening. Thanks for all your support. Thanks to everybody that keeps coming to us and just offering their love and, you know, support and everything for what the team's going through. It's weird being that, you know, with the Nottingham Panthers, people are supposed to hate us. And it's weird not being hated at the moment. So hopefully we can get past that next season and go on to something else. Last thing to say, go 49ers tonight. Come on.
I mean, whatever, if that's your thing. Yeah, thank you very much. We've been the Cat's Whiskers. So cheerio from Adam.
Cheerio.
Cheerio from Ant.
Bye.
And cheerio from me. And the rest. And from the rest of the table, say bye.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. Thank you.